This is St. Louis on the Air from St. Louis Public Radio. I'm Elaine Cha. Even in tiny amounts, lead can be dangerous. That's why when lead paint was detected in the chain link fences that encircle many St. Louis City playgrounds, the district began expensive and difficult efforts to replace more than 6 miles of fencing from 21 schools. Yet lead isn't just a problem above ground. In St. Louis City alone, drinking water flows through 113,000 service pipes connected to 1,300 miles of water mains. In 2024, a new federal rule ordered cities to identify their lead pipes and gave them a 10-year deadline to remove and replace them. In St. Louis City, in those thousands of miles of water pipes, there are thousands of service pipes made of lead. The effort to identify them is all underway. And with me now to talk about lead and water pipes, I'm joined by Spencer Gold. He is the Special Assistant to St. Louis City Water Commissioner. Spencer, welcome to the show.
Hey, Elaine. Thank you so much for having me on.
So why is there lead in our water pipes to begin with?
Yeah, I think, you know, there's a long reason behind that, but I think the simple answer is that lead was durable, it was affordable, and it was plentiful, and so it was used in a lot of plumbing going back for hundreds of years.
Mm-hmm. And where exactly is this lead when we're talking about these pipes?
I think when we're talking about lead in St. Louis specifically, where we see it is going to be in customer service lines. So not necessarily in our distribution system itself, but in the lines that go from that distribution system to your home.
Mm-hmm. We want to invite you to this conversation. Do you have a question or comment about removing lead from St. Louis's water pipes? Give us a call at 314-382-8255. That's 314-382-TALK. You can also send us an email at talk@stlpr.org. So I want to go back a couple of years to 2024. And at the end of the Biden administration, the Environmental Protection Agency issued a new rule to cities, and that was to identify and remove lead from water pipes. Why is that identification necessary?
Yeah, so I'll show my age a little bit here, but, you know, in the old G.I. Joe shows, knowledge is half the battle,
okay.
Right? And so to identify and replace lead lines, especially to do it effectively, the first step is to know where they are. And so as you mentioned, that rule put forward by the EPA strengthened some of those guidelines and required public municipal water systems and public water systems like ourselves to create a list of where those lead lines exist. And so that's where we are. It's about transparency, knowledge, and being able to better effectively address the lead service lead problem.
I mean, why don't you have this knowledge already, this information about where the pipes are located?
That's a great question. I think there wasn't a big push like we're seeing now to document these. So we were actually able to learn a lot about what material service lines are made of by looking through old tap records and things that we kept. Because we are a system of our age, we're over 190 years old. We do have some records going back that did document what was put in, but not perfect records were kept. So mm-hmm. I think the big challenge for us is that age and that knowledge kind of being lost over time.
Mm-hmm. Speaking of knowledge, I mean, it was by the late 1800s that it was understood that lead service lines were a cause of lead poisoning, but the affordability mm-hmm. is something that you mentioned earlier.
Yeah.
That affordability, what does that have to do with, like, how many of these lines were put in where they were?
I mean, I think what the materials were made of is a complicated problem. I mean, it could be, hey, this is what the plumber happened to have when he was installing this line back in the 50s, or they bought a whole lot of it because, you know, it was plentiful. You know, in the state of Missouri, we did have lead mines, and so it might be a little bit more common here than other places, but there's no simple answer for, hey, why was this put in or why wasn't it put in?
Mm-hmm. Do you have any insight into why installing lead service pipes that didn't become illegal, like it could still happen until relatively recently. It was 1986 that it became illegal across the country, right?
Yeah. Yeah, they put in a requirement for, you know, lead pipes to no longer be used. I mean, again, that's a complicated problem that was looked at by a lot of probably, you know, scientists and physicians who looked at it. And I think it's a value proposition, right? I think it's not uncommon for say, hey, we know some issues, but maybe we didn't know the severity of it at the time. We didn't have the knowledge that we have now. And so in hindsight, it's easy to say, hey, why did you use this material? Why didn't you use this material? But I think the answer is now that we know and we've determined that this is a problem that is we're aware of and one that we believe we can solve, that we have a system like this to get rid of it. Realistically, I think this is a good thing, not necessarily a bad one. I think it's us as a country determining, hey, we think this is a problem that is solvable. We think there's now resources to solve it. Let's take care of this problem. It's not, hey, we didn't do this. It's we've learned, we've gathered information, and we're making good decisions from that.
Mm-hmm. We have Jasmine, who is calling from Florissant. Jasmine, welcome to the show.
Well, thank you.
Sure, go ahead.
I wanted to ask, I have been getting emails from someone who claims to be part of the lead replacement program asking for some information and for me to click some links through the email to get these services. I've not been responding because that seems like a phishing attempt, but I wanted to know what the right way to get involved is and how someone could determine whether their home is affected by this problem and how to fix it.
Yeah, yeah. Well, good on you for knowing, hey, don't click every link. I think that's a great place to start. What I always direct people to, I think we're all aware of kind of these scams and phishing attempts nowadays. What I would direct people to is to reach out to us directly. So you can call our customer service line. That's 314-771-2255. That's the direct line for the City of St. Louis Water Division's customer service. Or you can go to our website. So instead of kind of clicking a link that you may not know where it's from, you can go to our website and then drive that yourself. And we have resources there that we could provide to citizens like yourself to get more information and potentially do some of that self-identification that we're looking for.
Mm-hmm. So the answer is to reach out to get more info, basically.
Always the safest. Yeah.
Jasmine, thank you for calling. Like Jasmine, you can also give us a call at 314-382-8255. That's 314-382-TALK. On this note about people calling, you know, as a public servant, you are getting calls from people. Is the city competing with scammers? Have you heard from others who live within the city limits that is something they're seeing?
I mean, in general, I think this is something that all, you know, municipalities deal with. I have heard, we anecdotally from folks that there are people reaching out. I think it's definitely something to be safe about. And we're trying to navigate how to best inform people and not feel like people are being misled. But I think it's a common problem that we're all places are dealing with. And I think you see it, especially after events like the tornado we saw in May. I think there are bad actors that try to take advantage of people looking for assistance. And so I think you see an uptick there that maybe we're pushing against, but we haven't heard of a huge concerns or anything yet that we're concerned about.
Well, and I think something to underscore is that this effort has been underway for a couple years, and the city has sent emails out twice. Are there other, you know, maybe more trustworthy or credible means that you are using to communicate with people?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, we've been, I think the biggest one and probably the most effective is those direct letters and mailers we send out. So those come from us. That'll have our logo on it, our official information, and it'll be in the envelope that, you know, the yellow envelope, I think it is, that the City of St. Louis Water Division things come in. And I think that gives it, you know, a little bit, people can recognize that hopefully and know that it's coming from us directly. But if there's someone concerned about it, or if you say have an elderly neighbor that's next to you and maybe you think you could go and provide them assistance, the best way to avoid that if you want to be very safe is to reach out to us, right? Our line, our website is all maintained by us. And if you're pushing it instead of it being pulled by someone reaching out to you, you can avoid, you know, issues like you're referencing.
Yeah. Let's talk about some of the numbers, Spencer. When this program started 2 years ago, the city said that it had identified 9,000 water pipes made of lead, and there were 58,000 water pipes that were made of some unknown material. So I understand that the count is now down to 50,000. What has it taken to get to that point?
Yeah, I mean, it's taken investment from us as a municipality to put forward and stand up a program to help identify that, taking resources dedicated to looking at those historic documents to see what we collect, and then reaching out to citizens to self-identify if they can. We also have a new program. We got some feedback from citizens who may not be able to identify for multiple reasons. Either you know, they're not able to get down into their basement for physical reasons, or maybe not have don't feel comfortable having enough information to do it themselves. And so we have a new program, again, accessible on our website, that has a contractor above and below. It's a free program where they can come out and help you identify those programs or identify those pipes.
So above and below.
Above and below. That's the contractor. Yep. And again, that information is on our website. They have a phone number that you can provide there. I don't have it in front of me, but that you can reach out to them and they can help identify that for you.
We're talking with the City of St. Louis's special assistant
to
the Water Commissioner, and discussing the City of St. Louis's efforts to identify, locate, and eventually replace water pipes made of lead. We have Ellen, who is calling from Tower Grove. Ellen, go ahead.
Hi, thanks for taking my call. I've lived in St. Louis for over 25 years, and we drink a lot of water, my son and myself. And I've always thought that St. Louis had some of the best water in the country. And so I guess my question is it safe to drink? We've replaced almost all of the pipes, in fact, all of the pipes in our house. But I'm just curious if it is safe to drink.
Ellen, thank you.
Yeah. The City of St. Louis's water is safe to drink. We don't have concerns about health concerns or anything like that. This program is about, again, it's about information and transparency. So we have production teams who work up at our Chain of Rocks plant, our Howard Bend plant. They've been working. They work very, very hard to provide safe, clean, reliable, economically priced water to citizens like yourself. And they've done that for hundreds of years. They'll continue to. And yeah, the water is safe to drink. This program is more about identifying how we can replace these lines so that they're not impacting citizens. And for over 20 years, we've treated our system with corrosion control. And that has been effective at reducing lead impacts in drinking water. So we've seen the effect of that. We test our water regularly. It is consistently below any EPA standards, but we recognize that no amount of lead is safe. And so we, along with the, you know, the federal government, the royal we, are interested in getting rid of all this lead and getting the lead out. That's the name of our program, so that's what we're trying to do.
Okay, to get the lead out.
Get the lead out, yeah.
Do it fast.
Yeah.
So we also have Linda, who is calling from Crestwood. Linda, welcome.
Thank you. I was wondering if there's a difference between the city and the county as far as who we should call for information. And also, if we do find that there is lead in the pipes connecting the service line to the house, who would be responsible for replacing that?
Yeah,
Linda,
so
thank you.
Go ahead.
Oh, no, sure.
The City of St. Louis Water Division serves anyone within the City of St. Louis County. So that's going to be the, you know, the city limits proper. Missouri American serves the majority of St. Louis County. And regarding responsibilities, a little bit of differentiation there as well. In the City of St. Louis, it is the property owner's responsibility, and they own the service line, and so that is, you know, part of the property. I believe in the county it's slightly different. I'm not as versed in that as a city employee. I don't work for Missouri American. But as far as where to get that information, we would direct you to your water provider. So if you're paying a Missouri American bill, it's going to be to them. If you're providing a City of St. Louis water bill, it's going to come to us. And we get calls about it regularly. So if you get a call to us, we'll direct you to the right place. We want to help.
Mm-hmm. Thank you. Thank you for calling with that question. But I think it also gets to, we might talk about where we live, mm-hmm. but the entire region is sort of where we do our living.
Yeah.
The thing that I understand about some of the businesses and things like that it's been easier to work with some of them on identification and replacement. Is that right?
Yeah, we've seen a higher proportion of those businesses responding. Sometimes they have team members and employees whose job it is to not only be responding to questions like this. They might have an environmental person whose job it is, but also just knowledge of those systems more so than what a regular homeowner might have. Mm-hmm. And so having that expertise allows them to more easily answer that question or just feel more comfortable answering it.
So we heard earlier from Ellen in Tower Grove, and this gets to sort of the geography. Yeah. And there is an official map of the current status of the city's search for lead pipes. Mm-hmm. And that map, to go with a seasonal sort of theme, it's like a dense blizzard of gray and blue circles that show where lead pipes have been found and where those pipes have not been identified. So when you look at this map, Spencer, and the distribution of this very old and really fundamental part of infrastructure for St. Louis, what do you see?
It's spread out all over the city. I think you see it in every area, in every neighborhood. I think you see that lead pipes exist, and there is not one place where you see it. There is not one density, areas where you see these exist. They are omnipresent in our system. And so I think that is, one of the reasons is why it's so important to do this lead identification is because we can't just say, hey, we think this street has lead. We need people to look in their homes and inform themselves if, hey, what's going on? What are things that I might need to address? And so this program is a big part of that. It helps us know what's going on, but it also helps homeowners identify what might be present in their home.
Mm-hmm. How is it that homeowners can do that?
Yeah, so there's some information online, on our website. I'm going to keep directing people there, that can walk people through how to self-identify that pipe. There's a couple ways to do it. There's a scratch test. If you scratch that line beneath any paint, you can look for a silvery color. There are also a magnet test. Lead is unmagnetic, where steel is. And so just a simple fridge magnet along the side of that can help identify, is this a steel line or if it's not. You can also look for wipe joints. So a very common way that they would solder these lead pipes when they were initially installed was to have this sort of large bulbous connection. They would use solder around that mm-hmm. to make those two lines connect. And seeing one of those is often a very strong indicator that your lines might be lead. And if you can't determine it, we have that program I talked about through Above and Below, and we can send out contractors, professionals who are well-versed in this who can help identify it for you.
So I'd like to return to the danger of the lead in these pipes. The city says the level of lead in them does not present any hazard. Mm-hmm. The EPA, however, says that these should be replaced. So How do these two things work together?
How do you merge those two concepts?
Right, right.
Yeah, so the big thing is I did talk a little bit about the proactive work we're doing with corrosion control, right? And so the idea behind that is making the water so treating the water so that it doesn't strip that lead out of those pipes. So even if there are lead pipes, it's not going to get into the water that you are drinking. So there is no level of lead is safe. That's what the EPA says, and that's what we believe as well. We want to reduce it. However, there are limits for what point does it become dangerous if consistently drank over the course of 80 years. And so that is sort of the limit at which we are underneath. But again, we do regularly test our water, and we don't see high levels of lead. We don't have the problems that we, you know, we've seen across the country in cities like Detroit and cities across state lines in Illinois. We don't have a crisis that we're dealing with. This is informational, and so that's why we're trying to collect these lead lines right now, mm-hmm. the lead line information.
So the EPA has given cities a deadline to remove and replace these mm-hmm. pipes, and I understand that the year being targeted is 2037. So can you help us understand, you know, that timeline? When does that 10-year clock start counting down?
Yeah, good question. So that law, the law that we discussed, the lead and copper, I can't remember it, but the EPA law set two kind of upcoming thresholds. The first one is for us to have for water systems across the country to have a lead replacement plan. That is 2026 or the end of 2026, 2027. The City of St. Louis Water Division is working on that plan now to meet that deadline. And then that plan itself is to set forward a plan to have the lines that are required to be replaced over the next 10 years. And so we're required to have a plan, put that in place, and we'll make that publicly available and discuss that with folks. And then we will then be working over that decade to get those lines removed.
Mm-hmm. And the final question here has to do with money.
Yeah.
So St. Louis Public Schools spent about $2 million to replace only 6 miles of fencing, as we noted in the introduction. Is there an estimate for what it will cost to replace the city's service lines? And where is that money going to come from?
That's a great question. I mean, you talked about us earlier on. We have 14,000 miles of pipe. So if you could imagine how hard it is to remove it from six, it's going to be harder to remove it from 14,000 miles. The cost varies. It's going to be dependent on what those materials are made of and, you know, the where those lines are located, but it could be as high as $500 million over the next 10 years. And so it is going to be an expensive problem to solve, but it's an important problem to solve. As far as where that money comes from, the federal government did allocate funds to states. In our case, in Missouri, it was allocated to the Primacy Agency, which is the Missouri Department of Natural Resources. They've provided some funds to us for identification, and the next step is hopefully getting funds for replacement. We are, as a municipal water system, looking for any way that we can get funds to help do this. So applying for grant funds, we're looking at getting, you know, money directly through them for direct subsidization if we can get that, as well as any grants and bonds and opportunities that we have. So we are definitely interested in continuing to pursue ways to solve this financial aspect of the problem.
Mm-hmm. Spencer Gold is Special Assistant to the Water Commissioner of the City of St. Louis. Spencer, thank you for joining us today.
Thank you for having me on.
This episode was produced by Danny Wisentowski.
And I, Lila Halil-Bashic.
Audio engineering and podcast design by Aaron Doerr.
Our executive producer is Alex Hoyer.
St. Louis on the Air is a production of St. Louis Public Radio. Understanding starts here.
Do you find yourself regularly listening to episodes of St. Louis on the Air? Suggest us to a friend you think might enjoy our conversations. And leave us a review and rating on Apple Podcasts on the App Store. It's the simplest way to help people discover our show. Thank you.
St. Louis Public Radio is a member-supported service of the University of Missouri-St. Louis.